Lost to History in Episode 2, the first mention of DC Metal.
Welcome to Agent Blue, your comic book explosion podcast. I'm George Green.
I'm Michael Bonanno III, and today we're talking about...
Bam!
Dark Knight's Metal.
Metal. You should add an echo effect right at the end of that. Metal. Metal.
Metal. Metal.
Metal. We definitely started talking about this story very early on in the podcast.
It was episode two.
It's something that we're like, yeah, we're going to continue the story. You know, it's great. La da 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 da. You know, we talked about all the origins of the Dark Justice League, you know, the dark versions of Batman. And then we just kind of never returned to it. We just got sidetracked with everything else. We just kept picking up different content and going to the comic book shop like once a week. Just, oh, let's read this story. Okay, then we'll do this one next. And then we'll do this one next. And then, you know, like $300 in comic books later. And then we forget all about the DC Metal event.
We did everything. We did even this one right here. This whole Earth One series. Remember
right.
Earth One? We went to Earth One. We went to Earth One before we went to DC Metal again.
The funny thing is, we were at Barnes & Noble today, and Selena had saw the Earth One Superman, and Selena was like, that book looks real familiar. She's like, you guys did something like that, right? And I'm like, we did that exact same book.
We did them all.
But then we started talking about the Dark Knight's Metal and just never returned to it, which... Now, actually finishing it and reading it completely kind of bums me out because it was actually a really good story.
However, though, like, to be fair, we did bring up DC Metal once or twice when I brought up the origin for the joke, the Batman Who Laughs. Remember when we did that?
Right. Right, I do. It's not like we just stopped talking about it entirely, but we kind of stopped talking about it entirely.
Just ever so slightly, ever so slightly. But now we got this book back in our hands. I got this back in June when it actually came out, the whole, you know, story. This guy over here got it today, didn't you?
No, I definitely got it today. Got it today, read it today, and it was all fine and dandy.
Fine and dandy.
Fine and dandy. So I don't know about you for this story, and I know that you have read on ahead.
Oh, absolutely. I'm all the way up to this guy right here. Well, okay. I'm up to this story. This comes like two places after DC Metal. It's like it goes DC Metal, then it goes to No Justice. And now it's a new Justice storyline in Justice League. But that's not our focus.
Right. Our focus right now is the Dark Knight's Metal. But like I was saying, it definitely has sucked me back into DC Comics a little bit. You know, I'm kind of hyped to get back into the story of it. I did have to do a little bit of a refresher, though, partway through, you know, trying to remember everything that was going on, because there is a lot of information during the Dark Knight Metal story.
I just realized in this book that there was mention to the All-Star Batman book, which I believed was part of the whole, Frank Miller one, the Dark Knight Returns. I thought it was the same universe, but then how does it fit into the main... Earth Zero storyline, if Dark Knight's metal is part of this world and Dark Knight Returns is in a different reality.
I thought they kind of hopped through realities in this story just a little bit.
Yeah, but they definitely hopped through realities. You saw the Dark Knight Returns Batman in the image later on in the book, but my thought process was how is this an alternate reality of him coming in if you're also telling me that All-Star Batman, which does take place in that same timeline, is relevant in the story canonically.
I don't know. I have no idea. I didn't really read that deep into it.
I have one question for you, George. One question.
I have potentially multiple answers and maybe another question to rebuttal with, so let's hear it.
All right. So, after reading this, yes, we've established that we kind of do we wish we had continued with it in the podcast, but after reading it the way it was, do you wish that you just didn't pick up the comic in the first place until here? Because after reading the, the part where Superman, shoves his fist through Batman's chest and it turns out to be Clayface, remember a reaction to that?
Yeah, I do. I definitely remember the reaction to that. I kind of do actually wish that I waited to actually start the story. But at the same time, I have read so many comics. I've jumped around in so many stories. You know, I've started stories at, volume 4 and then read backwards down to, 3, 2, 1. I've read volume 1 of some stories and then skipped to, 4 just because I didn't feel like reading about, a certain character or, a certain story arc that just didn't pique my interest. So it's not something too out of, at least my character, to jump around a lot in a story. So, aside from the fact that this was a great story, that's the only reason that I wish I waited to pick it up. Other than that, it didn't bother me chronologically, knowing about it without finishing this story.
All right. Well, then, based on what you've read now inside this beautiful book, what's your favorite part now? Because clearly that Clayface stab was our, oh my goodness moment in the beginning. But,
there's so much now. My favorite part was that. That was actually a close second. But it actually comes almost immediately after when the Bat Family lures the Justice League into the green and kind of gets Swamp Thing involved.
Who dares?
That's probably, I'm a sucker for Swamp Thing. I don't like his stories, I just like his cameos.
So you're not looking forward to the DC Universe subscription service's live, I don't know if it's live action, probably live action. Live action TV show of Swamp Thing coming out?
I didn't even know about it.
Yeah, there's going to be Titans, Young Justice season 3. There is going to be Swamp Thing, Doom Patrol, a bunch of other ones. Harley Quinn animated series.
I mean, I might definitely watch Swamp Thing, give it this some time. But I don't know. I don't think it's going to be something that's really going to tickle my fancy.
Well then.
So far, comic book based TV shows don't always fare well with me. They don't pique my interest. I feel like the comic books for me kind of hold a certain balance between action and drama that a TV show doesn't normally capture. TV shows are more drama than action.
Yeah, no, I 100% get that.
Like, the movie's totally different story. I'm a sucker for a good movie, but the TV shows, it's hard for them to keep my interest. Because when it comes to comics, I want a certain type of action that I feel like TV shows don't always deliver on.
No, yeah. Just, 2 days ago, my roommate brought a friend over, and just because this guy wanted to get into comics, he brought up Avengers Infinity War. I started to cry when he asked what I felt about Spider-Man's death scene.
Still,
I literally was just like, I'm sorry, I can't be here right now, and I walked back into my bedroom and shut the door.
Great, traumatized by it.
I'm not okay. It doesn't
matter. This poor guy is just trying to get into the world of comic books, and you mentioned Spider-Man once to Michael, and he breaks down into an emotional breakdown.
It's true. I left John, my roommate, all alone just to have to explain why I walked away.
Jeez.
But yeah, well,
the movie that releases definitely cures your emotional distress.
When Spider-Man returns, it will cure me. Until then, any mention of his death will inevitably cause me to cry.
Cause you harm. It will cause you great harm. Okay, well, how about instead of talking about Spider-Man and Marvel,
I was going to go back to this
Dark Knight's metal and awesomeness.
All right. Well, the scene that's on the cover, that was like the most hysterical scene in the world. You know, the fact that Batman's riding a giant Joker dragon. You know what I mean?
He's like, no. I don't need you to carry me. I got a ride. I'm
just like knocks out, just hops on the back. That was hysterical.
The 10th metal armor I thought was legit.
Yeah,
that was pretty cool.
While reading that, I was like, oh, they're talking about hope and light fighting against the darkness, and of course, I go,
Let's whip out the good old trusty Bible here, pocket sized.
Just the New Testament, and it's the New Testament with Psalms and Proverbs. That's what this book is right here. But no, it really did. It definitely correlated when they brought that up. I was like, yeah, and that's the armor of God. That 10th metal putting on him, Ephesians 6:10, the armor of God. I'm just like, hey, there it is.
I mean, you can't really get any closer correlation. I mean, it was explained to them as an armor that binds worlds, binds beings together. It's how much of a closer correlation can you get other than them mentioning it by name?
Oh, like in The Green Arrow by Kevin Smith? They bring the husk of Green Arrow into the world, and he's just like, yeah, we're going to go talk to this guy. Who? Jesus? Well, most people believe it to be his father. Most people believe the person we're going to talk to is Jesus' father. And honestly, they would be right.
They would be right. They are correct.
And then Deadman shows up and says the God that gave his power. And then he runs away, like, oh, you're going to make her mad. It's like, what was that? Oh, Deadman just is the only one who doesn't realize that God isn't a female and the person. But that's not part of Dark Knight's DC metal.
Yeah, no, it is not. It is not part of it at all. I mean, how do you want to explain this story? I mean, it's one of those stories where I feel like you just got to read it yourself. It's too good.
It's really
complex. And for a cheap, quick synopsis of the movie. Of the book. Listen, I was thinking the entire time reading it, like, you know how the DC animated universe like does a great job connecting the comics that they have written and then transferring them into a movie, because they just kind of almost word for word it. This would make a fantastic story. It would be an incredibly complex and
very expensive movie. You got them going to the dark multiverse. You got giant monsters appearing. You got like constant transformations of bodies just to turn into different things. You got a giant Joker dragon.
Multiple giant Joker dragon. Multiples of them. It was like 3 or 4.
But I would die laughing. I would die laughing if I saw Ben Affleck on a giant Joker dragon.
That would be hilarious. I'm not talking about an actual live action movie. I'm talking about an animated movie, though.
Either way, it'd be expensively long.
A live action movie, this would be like the DC equivalent of Infinity War.
Too much money. They don't have the repertoire.
They gotta wait 10 years just to lead up to this story.
Yeah,
because it's definitely one of those stories where you gotta know at least a fair amount about the DC universe just to understand most of this story.
I mean, there's some throwaway lines like, "Oh, I'm gonna do this," and then it's just like, "Revert back to issue." When did this happen?
Oh, okay. About this giant starfish, the telepathic starfish that Starro. I can't remember the name of.
Starro, the Justice League's very first villain, publication-wise.
Wasn't it the Justice League at that point?
What?
Wasn't it the Justice Society?
No.
The Justice League of America?
No, the Justice League's very first enemy, publication-wise. When they first became the Justice League, the first thing they ever fought was Starro.
Right. Right, I knew that. I knew that.
Clearly. You thought I was talking about the Justice Society. Completely different team, my dude.
So, I'm going to go with my best, most accurate depiction of this story.
And what would that be?
This story is like a sandwich.
This story is like a sandwich.
But a really good sandwich.
Elaborate.
It's got a lot of layers. But once you compress all these layers together into one, it makes for a great story. Are you picking up what I'm putting down?
Yes.
Did you turn your mic off just to eat a veggie stick?
Yes.
I appreciate you not crunching in my face, but you can't wait 20, 30 minutes to eat a veggie stick? You gotta eat a veggie stick right now?
I already started it.
Immediate moment. He's got a bag of veggie sticks sitting next to him. He's like, well, I guess there's no better time. Let me just, turn the mic off real quick and eat this,
That's why I told you to elaborate so I could do it.
You could have turned your camera off, too. It's so distracting. Like a person over here eating a bag of popcorn while you're just telling a story.
Fine. Elaborate.
The Dark Knight Metal story is great, to say the least, but elaborate at the same time. It is a story that you kind of definitely need to know a decent amount about DC to really understand. And yes, you don't need to know a lot. You can go into it without any information and still kind of get a good story out of it, but to truly understand what's going on in the story and all of the different types of metals and even the different scenarios that are spoken about throughout the story.
I'm still laughing at Batmanium.
Having some background knowledge would definitely help a lot.
100%. At least
in my opinion, which is the only reason I don't think this story carries much weight, because I feel like there's a lot of extra reading that you are going to want to do after, just to really know about the story.
Well, coming from the future of DC Comics right now, because you've only gotten this far, I can agree with you on the fact that it definitely relies heavily on the fact that you know what has happened prior to this in the DC universe. But this story holds the most weight in the current DC landscape.
So if you read this story and just move forward, it's kind of an all-new Justice League.
It is an all-new Justice League. There's an all-new Teen Titans. There's an all-new Justice League. Look at the cover here. See this?
I'm going to zoom in a little bit here. I see it, but you don't have much light in there.
Okay, well, you got Hawkgirl. You got John Stewart, Green Lantern, Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman, Cyborg, Martian Manhunter, Aquaman. You know who else is an honorary member of the Justice League now?
Who?
Beast Boy.
Beast Boy? Isn't he like 14?
Beast Boy is forever young, but if you haven't read the story of New Justice, it wouldn't make sense. New Justice comes right after this, like, not even a day after or something. Like, if you've read the epilogue to this book, I'm assuming you have, George.
Which is the epilogue in the beginning of the book?
No, the...
The ending, I mean?
Yes.
The prologue is the beginning.
Yeah,
no, I read the epilogue, of course I did.
Where he's like, there's a bigger problem coming, but it's a tomorrow problem.
Right.
Yeah.
He's wrong.
No. He's right about it being a tomorrow problem.
But it is a legit tomorrow problem. Like, it happens the very next day, right?
Yeah. You get
all these... right. Well, you know what's going to happen the very next day for me?
What?
I'm going to go find a comic book shop that's open on a Monday, because I feel like in Rochester, that is the hardest thing to find.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. A million times, yes.
And I think the only one that is open is 13th Verse.
Yeah, I know that.
And that's the one in the shops over there.
And they're never open on New Comic Book Day?
And, well, no, that's not the problem that's going to equate for me. The problem that's equating for me is if I go there, Selena's going to come with me. And if Selena comes with me, she's going to go look at the antiques and I'm going to end up spending a lot of money.
Tis true.
I can hear her in the background. She's gristling her little fingers together ever so villainous. Oh, man. It's okay, though, because if I get a new comic book out the deal and I got to shell out some dinero for something nice for her, I'll do it. I do it gladly.
Isn't that sweet?
I know, right? Well, we're also going to be redoing her room, tattoo shop, so. You know, she kind of does need new things for her room.
Her room? You mean at the tattoo shop?
Her room at the tattoo shop.
Okay. Like her, yes.
Her like little cubicle that she's got, we're going to redecorate it.
Good.
I'm going to make it look all gothic and fancy. But yet again, we are straying from our topic.
That's why I put up the book.
I'm assuming that's why you put up the book, hence why I said it. Now, I don't know about you, but I really do not want to review this story.
Because it's just that good?
It was just that good, yeah. Like, I'm potentially going to read it again. But I feel like if I read it again, I've been so sleep deprived. If I read it again, I'm going to doze off halfway through it just because I'm like reading and I'm just like laying down and then I'll doze off, wake up with like a page stuck to my face, like peel it off. It'll be like words on my cheek.
That'd be hysterical. And then get Selena to tattoo those words on your cheek.
That would be interesting. That's not going to happen. But I do want to go over a little bit of the story. I want to talk about some parts that I really did like. I want to talk about a few parts that I actually did not like. But first, my question for you is, because we don't do this often, what was your least favorite part in the whole book?
My least
favorite part? Because there was one that sticks out for me exponentially, and I feel like this is the biggest problem with this story.
My least favorite part of this whole book.
Would you like me to start? And you can hear while you look.
Yes, and I'm going to mute my thing so it doesn't...
All right. So the least favorite part of this story for me was essentially the entire time when you figure out that Carter Hall is now the new Dragon of the Forge, and he goes around destroying the new universes that really aren't being created. And the fact that the main villain of the entire story, Barbados, doesn't actually fight any of the Justice League, only fights Carter Hall. And he's just, I feel like you have such this big villain and you have so much potential for him, but instead he just ends up like falling flat. You know, he doesn't do much. Like, yes, he's like the puppet master of everything, but at the end of it all, he was just a big talker. And then Hawkgirl just kind of flies through his chest and debilitates him long enough for them to capture him. And that was it. I just felt like that was kind of lacking in the story for such like a powerful character he really didn't show me much of his power, at least in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I would definitely agree. Especially, like, because Barbados was kind of, like, thrown in with the other Bat League, if you remember. That's what I decided to dub them back in issue number 2. Yeah, the Bat League. He was, like, thrown in there. And then I was like, well, maybe he's the Shazam of the group because he got all these different Batman versions of each character. But, like, yeah, he was just standing there most of the time, just talking. What right. really threw me off is that he didn't actually have any text bubbles. They just were, like, around him.
Yeah, no, that was another thing. I feel like that was to equate to his power.
The fact that he is too powerful. His
force carries weight, so they don't need to put him in a text bubble. I feel like they did that for storytelling purposes. But then, like I said before, that also... Like, okay, so he's such a powerful character, but you don't see much of him like that, you know? He doesn't beat up Batman or Superman. He just sends goons after him. I feel like at the end of the story, he should be the one to die fighting. You know, I feel like Wonder Woman was the one who always talked about die fighting. I figured, you know, they were going to have a final brawl with Barbados, you know, mano y mano, somebody.
If you were going to have a final brawl with the Batman Who Laughs, then he should have been the guy actually leading everything. Not this guy who you're just going to see him talk, tell people right. what to do, and hide in a corner, and then die like a wimp because he didn't do anything but stand there.
Right. Now, my favorite part of the story is the fight between the Batman Who Laughs and Batman and the Joker.
Yeah, that was funny.
You know, because it's hilarious.
When that scene came up, I stopped reading it in my head and started reading it out loud just so I could read it as the Joker.
You said to get like really into it.
Yeah, just it was, like the Joker appears.
It was definitely great because the Joker definitely poked fun at the Batman Who Laughs.
Batman Who Laughs. More like the Batman Who Talks. Yeah.
And it was really funny. I thought it was good. I thought it was a great ending to the story. I thought it at least made up a little bit for the final battle between Carl Hall and Barbados. But I still feel like, you know, Barbados went out like a wimp. And that was my biggest gripe with the story.
My favorite.
Look over the whole thing about, you know, having to know too much about the DC universe.
My favorite part about this book, though, was when Batman started to be actual hope for Superman. When he was just like, when like Superman was just like, no, it's too late. And Batman was like, no, it is not. You've been fighting to be hope this whole time, and now you're going to give up? No.
Right. Like, no, can't happen. Not going to do that. You're not going to switch up.
If you're going to switch up, then I'll be Superman right now. No. But yeah, no, that was my favorite part. And then, yeah, no, I have to agree with you with the fact that Barbados is, like, the least good part in this book. Clearly for a separate reason than you. Not really. But, your gripe was the fact that he didn't do much. Mine was... the fact that because he didn't do much, we know nothing about him other than he was there.
Right. Right.
It's like one of the most annoying things in the world.
On top of that, another thing that I really liked about the book was seeing alternate versions. Because I know it really heavily weighed on Batman, but there were definitely alternate versions of both Wonder Woman and Superman in the story. Which was another thing that I really liked. The Wonder Woman who was actually Cheetah,
yeah,
was my favorite, and the Superman that kills Batman and takes over his mantle was my other favorite.
With the bat symbol on bat,
right? He looked like he was from the Dark Knight Returns. You know, he kind of had some of the armor on. I feel like it kind of pulled off of that story.
I would have laughed if for that one they specifically used Superman speeding bullet costume. Because in that one, he is actually Batman.
And I liked Nightwing's armor during, I don't know, somewhere
the like Jon Snow look.
Yeah.
The Jon Snow look. I love how it was like, they literally just called it out like that. They were like, for more on the Nightwing Jon Snow, the Jon Snow Nightwing, read Dark Knight's The Resistance. And I was like, oh, that's funny.
Yeah, no, I definitely might look into that story as well, just to see more of that Nightwing. I've definitely been thinking about, I came across it today. I've read it once before, but the New 52, I believe, the Justice League, not the Justice League, the New 52 Titans, you know, the Return of Wally West.
Mm-hmm.
Thinking about picking Rebirth. That up.
That's,
I think,
Rebirth.
That might be something we should cover soon.
The Return, the Titans, the Return of Wally.
Yeah.
That's in Rebirth, not not New 52.
That's right.
It is. Rebirth was signified by the Return of Wally West. Like, that's when it started.
That's when Rebirth started, right. It's, because I read it before. I was actually on jury duty when I read the story, but...
You were just sitting in jury and just been like...
Sitting in jury duty on my phone. I was on my phone, because I had it on my phone at the time. I'm just swiping through. It was on Comixology. I'm guided viewing it, and I'm just... Because I was there for, like, hours, man. It was terrible. But I feel like that's a good story to cover. But I do want to continue on with doing the, you know, New Justice and No Justice. You know, I want to continue on with this DC Metal, like, story arc, you know.
This now that it's over, Aftermath stories.
Aftermath stories, yeah.
This Justice League has got me going, like, whoa. What? Are you serious? Yes, it's one of those. It's like, oh my goodness. What? Like, John has been taking all the comics that I've been reading after I finish them to work because at late, you know, late night gets really slow. So he's been reading them. And he saw the issue number 3 of this the new Justice League, and he just, like, looked at it and he's like, what? What is this? I need to know. Like,
is it,
read it.
Is it out in volumes yet? Is there multiple volumes of it, or is it still paperback?
No, they're all coming out in issues. They just came out with issue number 5 or 6.
Because, I mean, it does get slightly easier to follow a story when we have the full volume in front of us, at least for me.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. Do you know how many times I've lost track of a story because I had to go get it in single issues? It's a pain in the butt. But with the
my
comics...
My attention span's a little too short for that, so... And you have a comic store around the corner, so it's probably a lot easier for you.
Oh, yeah, with a comic store, with a comic shop right there, right before school, I hop in, I'm like, yo, what's in my pull list?
Yeah, see, unfortunately for me, there is no comic book shop that's ever along my daily route. And the only one that is ever along my daily route doesn't open till 4 o'clock, and I'm never in that exact area at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, well, my comic shop is literally, if I'm standing in the school and turn and face this road, it's right there. It's across the street.
Yeah, I mean, the only close one is in Gates, and I guess I could go over there for my issues, but... It's just going to end up being one of those things where I'll lose track, or I'll get busy at one point and just forget about it for like a week, and then come back, and I'll come back with like a stack just, you know, 3 feet long. And I'm just going to think to myself, like, how am I supposed to read all of this? I'm going to start dozing off about, you know, a quarter of the way through.
Yeah, so remember
when I just drink a whole pot of coffee and not pay attention.
This is how little of a problem I have with that. Got volume number 1, Ultimate Collection Invincible. The next day, volume number 2, Ultimate Collection Invincible. Day number 3, volume number 3, Ultimate Collection Invincible. Tomorrow, I get number 4.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
I go to that shop all the time.
Yeah, I mean, going to the comic book shop's not easy for me. Reiterated, I wish I had a comic book shop around the corner because I would pretty much live in there. I have a lot of free time, you know, in random spots. So if there was a comic book shop that was close, it would be super easy.
Then you come down here and visit for a month, and like every day that month, you just go to the comic shop with me.
I would come back home broke.
Yes.
I don't want to do that.
Why not?
Because I need money to survive.
But where's the fun in that?
I can't read comic books if I'm dead.
But I mean, yes, you can. Yes, you can.
Oh, man.
You can read all the comics for all eternity at that point.
I guess you're right.
It went into a comic book discussion of reading comic books rather than Dark Knight's Metal.
Yeah, you know,
it's just one of those books. Like,
I'll say it again. It's hard to, like, it's one of those stories you kind of just, you have to read it yourself.
And we just, like, I just reread it, you just read it, so it's not like it's, like, you know, it's been a while since we read it and we're just getting to it. Just, like, no, like, this book is one of those books that just, like, there's a lot of moments in here. And, like, to just tell you everything that would happen, that happens.
We'll
just
be doing, like, it in Injustice.
Yes. Get out Injustice DC Comics. Where are they? That's what we're doing to this.
I mean, I can get them all out. It's going to take me a minute. It's about your stack of Invincible comics. And I don't even have all of them.
You got to get them rest, man. There's 27 of these Invincibles.
Oh, jeez.
I'm not even, like, near done. And then after 27, they started the story up again. Not rebooting, just continuation to the point. But it is so seamless that most people didn't even realize this story ended.
Yeah, because some people are still reading, you know, issue 3. Because they're, you know, a mile and a half long.
Yeah. I can't wait till I have all 27. I'll probably just rest it up. Like, I'll just be like this.
You could sit it on the floor next to you and just rest on it. Yeah. Easily.
Like this.
Yeah, I don't think I could read 27 issues of a book that's like 2.5 inches thick. It's hard to read a comic book in any sort of, you know, speed fashion. Because
it's fantastical.
Part of the comic book experience is being able to look at the pictures and correlate the pictures of what's going on in the story. So, like, you feel like you have to sit there and kind of ingest it all into one.
Yeah, but this book, but Invincible definitely tells you that you need to look at the panels.
Like, hey, look at this. Circled, highlighted.
Pretty much.
Ready to go.
Robert Kirkman pokes fun at the superhero genre as best as he possibly can with this book, but it's so eloquent and perfectly written that it is a superhero book in itself.
It is a superhero book in itself. All right. I feel like this episode has begun to drag.
How long has it been? Let's check, shall we?
40 minutes.
43 minutes and 19 seconds to be exact.
We still have to plug what we're going to do. We got to plug our social medias.
And there's a new social media.
There is a new social media. I have yet to check that out. I was really busy reading. I'm actually going to start doing that right now.
You're going to start reading? Just like pick up a comic book. Just like... Yeah, no. So, what are we going to do next week?
I'm going to go to the comic book shop tomorrow, and I need you to tell me which story we're going to pick up with. No Justice, New Justice, Next Justice, Yesterday Justice.
Oh, you want to continue this world? Is that what you want to do?
Yeah, I mean, we might as well. I feel like that's when we release our best content, is when we just start a story and we just continue it.
All right, then it's called No Justice.
No Justice,
I guess next week we're going to start that over. Not over, but we're going to.
We're going to pick it up and we're just going to roll with it. We're going to roll with the punches.
Yeah. And then every month we'll continue it until we completely forget that we have to continue each one. And then we'll come back when it's in, like, the end of the story. And then we'll tell you all about it. And then not actually tell you about it.
This is true. Well, I mean, what other stories do we have that we have yet to finish? Because I feel like there's a lot.
There is...
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Batman. I thought there was a part two to that.
The sequel comes out this month.
So that's definitely got to get continued.
Volume 3 of Soldier Zero.
Right, we haven't done that yet either.
Everything.
Is that it?
Yeah.
I think that's it.
That's it.
Oh, okay. I thought we were a lot further behind than that. Oh, okay, cool. I'm still waiting on Spider-Man to come out patiently, not so patiently, but I'm really excited to actually start doing a Let's Play on that. I feel like it's just...
I'm excited for it to come out for you.
And I feel like you'll be watching the Let's Play just... Not even as a consumer, not even as a producer. You're going to be like mixing it and editing it, and then you're going to be watching it at the same time. It's going to take you 3 hours just to edit it because you're just watching me play the first few hours.
Yeah, no, I'd watch the whole thing first and be like, all right, that was dope. Let's go back in and watch it again and change and do what I need to do to edit it.
Yeah, so that's going to be a lot of fun. That's all I have for my end. I feel like the next new movie to come out isn't till October, right?
Venom. Venom is the next one.
So, you know, we have no movie reviews to do. We never technically did Ant-Man and the Wasp.
No, we haven't.
We could do that if that's really something you felt like doing. I guess that's one of the things where we can leave up to everybody else if they wanted a review of the movie that's been out for a little over a month now.
Yeah. Honestly, I feel like if we're going to do it, we would need to go back to the theater and rewatch it.
Yeah, potentially. I mean, it's still pretty fresh. I had a conversation about it with a random person I met at Tops the other day.
Really? I haven't.
Yeah, I did.
Ant-Man and the Wasp has been lost to my mind.
He saw my Venom tattoo, and then he just started talking to me about comic books, which actually does happen a lot for me. So, you know, I guess I wear my heart on my sleeve, you could say. You know, wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Well, I believe that... Well, I believe that's all we have from us here at Agent Blue. You can find us on Instagram, Agent Blue Podcast, all one word. Facebook, Agent Blue Podcast, separate words, but without punctuation. You can go to mb-3d.com/agent-blue if you want to check out the book that we talked about, because honestly, you need to, because obviously we didn't get into it. You can also go, and if you want to help us and support us, you can go to mb-3d.com/donate or patreon.com/mb3. As for our new social media, it's Amino, if you've never heard of it. It's an app on phones, smartphones, all that lovely jazz, that allows you to connect with communities. And Agent Blue Podcast is on the comic book Amino. Go check us out there. I'm about to post this podcast, and a little summary of what we do in the featured posts, so people there can see it. If you're here from that, give us a thumbs up. And if you go there because of us, give us a thumbs up. All right. That's it.
I'm posting on Instagram.
You're doing what? You're posting on Instagram?
Right now.
Oh, well. Well, from us here at Agent Blue, peace.
Peace.